This is the Wednesday, April 13th edition of the Daily Wager Podcast. The NBA play-in continues with another doubleheader tonight. We'll get into that and touch on a little baseball in and out in less than 10 minutes.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome to the Daily Wager Podcast, presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated daily fantasy app. I'm Doug Kazarian, joined this morning with Tyler Foljam. How are you, my friend?
Doing well this morning. Had a good night in the NBA. Kind of everything that we thought would happen with those two games kind of did in terms of, you know, the totals and sides and props. I think we had, based on what I remember from our show yesterday, a pretty good day.
Yeah, overall, solid day. I was wrong on a couple things, but that happens. We got there with the Cavs back door, but that's the reason we said the defense of Brooklyn was not good enough. So moving forward, I'm on the Hawks tonight. I do like this team. Look, you want to use the season stats most of the time, but November and December really don't carry a lot of weight in my world when we're mid-April here and the team has changed so much. So just given how the Hawks have been playing, I know the Hornets kind of got them the last time they played, but I think Atlanta takes care of business, and we see a similar performance, you know, solid 7 to 10 point win here. So I'm going to lay the 5.5 with Atlanta.
Yeah, I'm going to attack the total here. And we were talking about this on Daily Wager yesterday, especially early in these playoff play-in and playoff series games. Unders are likely a strong play as possessions become a little more measured and defensive effort ratchets up. The Hornets and the Hawks have the highest total of the four playoff playing games. It opened at 239.5. It's already been bet down to 236. I still think you can attack the under there, despite the pace and offensive prowess of both of these teams. They matched up four times this season. Three of the four games went under this total. They had one game where they combined to score 257 points. And even accounting for that game, that was a complete outlier, the four games still averaged only 225.8 points per game. So if you take that one out, you're talking about an average in the two teens. And we got to get to 237 to cash the over here. Again, there is the one outlier, 257. These offenses can go off. But the other three games featured a total of 222, 204, and 220. I just think we're going to see a little more measured game, a little more defensive effort in a lower scoring game than the market is predicting based on the reputation these two teams have as two teams that like to get out, run and gun, chuck and duck, and play a little defense. I think there's enough evidence there in those four matchups that, again, even with a game of 257, the average in those four games was 226, and the total here is set at 236. I'm going to go under and make that my play for the total in this one.
Nice. Yeah. No, look, we odds makers in the betting market uses regular season stats and applies them to this. I don't even want to call it postseason, I guess. I don't know. And I think that's something that, so narratives sometimes apply. I mean, I was talking to a professional bettor a week or so ago, and he said he doesn't really do the NBA for the last month or so of the regular season because it's all narrative driven. And sometimes the narratives do apply. So that's something to keep in mind. Spurs, Pelicans, similar spread here, 5.5. I like the underdog here. I think it's too many points, but it wouldn't shock me if the Pelicans cover here. But I'm expecting the Spurs to be there, obviously more experience with the coach. And I just think the Spurs have enough here for a Pelicans team that's been great with Ingram and McCollum. I mean, Ty talked about earlier throwing out the first couple of months. Well, obviously, when Ingram didn't play, you know, this team was like 2-25 or something ridiculous.
Right.
Much different team. And then, you know, certain guys like Herb Jones have really come into their own. I like this Pelicans team. I just think 5.5 is too many.
Agree with you. I'm on the Spurs side. Again, you have to take into the context that these rosters are a little different than what we saw over the course of 82 games. But the Spurs were 3-1 straight up and 3-1 ATS versus New Orleans in four games this season. And they finished very strong on the road down the stretch. And they were playing meaningful games down the stretch, Doug. That's one narrative I think that we can apply to the Spurs because they were trying to qualify for this playoff play-in. So it's not like they were resting guys or taking it easy down the stretch. They were trying to win games. And they did. In their last seven road games, they were 5-2 straight up. And they had a positive 7.7 net rating, which was the fourth best in the NBA over that stretch. Greg Popovich, obviously a coaching advantage over Willie Green. And that's not to, you know, say anything negative about Willie Green. It's just Greg Popovich is Greg Popovich. All right. He's in the Mount Rushmore of all time coaches. I think DeJounte Murray will be the best basketball player on the floor. He joined Michael Jordan as one of only two players in the history of the NBA this season to average 20 points, 8 assists, 8 rebounds, and 2 plus steals in a single season. That's how much he can affect a basketball game now that it's the team is his with Aldridge and DeRozan gone. He dominates the basketball and he dominates both ends of the floor. He creates for his teams in transition. He creates an ISO. He can shoot. He can rebound. He can pass. He does everything. So given that team with that coach, 5.5, I think the Spurs are the better bet here. Any props that interest you in either of these games?
Not really. There's one Keldon Johnson one. It's 5.5 is his rebounds. The over's juiced to the -150. He's had 6+ in, like, I think I want to say 17 of the last 18 games, except for, so it's really 17 of 22, but I kind of throw out the four. He only played 16 minutes in one game, and so I kind of throw that out. And yeah, then the other three that I want to throw out are the Portland games. Like, I just don't, they weren't a real team out there. So for whatever reason, he wasn't doing, I don't know. I mean, we saw what happened on Sunday. They lost by a million, scored like 80 points. So, but I just think 6 is his bottom number in this. So 5.5, even over -150, I like it.
Yeah, for this game, I will attack DeJounte Murray. He's a guy who had 2 triple doubles against the Pelicans in those 4 games, averaged well north of, let me see here, let me pull this up. He averaged 10 assists and 9.8 rebounds per game. So he essentially averaged a triple double. He was 0.2 rebounds per game shy of averaging a triple double against New Orleans in 4 games this season. He actually did record a triple double in 2 of those 4. That's +420. That market. And again, with it being a playoff play-in game and an actual, you know, kind of a do or die game here, I do think you will see Murray on the floor for as many minutes as he can handle. And if the minutes bump from his average of, you know, 33 during the regular season to a 38, 39, 40 minute game, I think you could see a really robust box score from DeJounte Murray. Triple doubles in play. If you just like the rebound and assist prop, 17.5 is the total there to go over 17.5 rebounds and assists. And again, he averaged 19.8 4 games this season. And I will circle back to that Hornets Hawks game with a very similar prop for LaMelo Ball. I don't have the triple double prop there, but his rebound and assist prop is 15.5 in 3 games this season. He averaged 8.7 assists, 7.7 rebounds. That's 16.5 per game. He cleared the threshold in 2 of the 3 games against Atlanta. We know Charlotte likes to play with pace. And again, I expect a few extra minutes for LaMelo Ball. Same kind of logic I was using for Kevin Love in his points and rebounds prop last night against the Brooklyn Nets. And he did play 30 minutes, which I didn't think he could even get to that. But again, in these games, we can take those averages from the regular season and you can bump them up a little bit because logic would dictate, as long as it's a, you know, close game, that the best players are going to play a few more minutes in what is a do or die. So that's kind of how I'm looking at those player prop markets in these games. And I'll continue to use that strategy, especially early in the series before the market adjusts as the playoffs begin.
All right, good stuff. And any baseball for the people before we let them go?
Yeah, a couple of games that I don't really have like great notes on, but the Brewers and the Orioles are matching up this afternoon at Camden Yards or whatever it's called now. It's going to be Corbin Burnes against John Means, and I'm going to play under 8 there. Burnes got roughed up a little bit in his first start, but he's still the reigning NL Cy Young Award winner. John Means is by far the best starter for the Orioles. He had a good first outing. And don't forget, at Camden Yards, they reconfigured the outfield wall. They moved the left field fence back about 15 feet in left field from the foul line all the way to the left center field power alley, and they raised the wall as well. So this is going to play as a different park this season. I don't know if people know that, but go look on Twitter, go look on the internet about the difference in the way that they moved the wall back and raised it to create it a little bit harder park for hitters to hit in. So I think Burnes bounces back against an Orioles lineup that's awful against righties. I think Means is good enough to hold a mediocre Brewers lineup in check. I'm going to play that game under.
All right, so that's good stuff there. Obviously, the focus is on the NBA. NBA. We're going to have a Daily Wager tonight, normal time slot, 6 Eastern on ESPN2. Good luck to everyone.